Welcome back. This is Voices from the Front Lines on KPFA 90.7 FM. We'd like to welcome now Ellen Bernstein. We were hoping to have Reverend Lucius Walker on the show, but, you know, Ellen Bernstein is the Associate Director of Pastors for Peace, and he's obviously in, you know, he's just crossed the Texas border, and so it's a little hard to get a reception of him. So we'd like to welcome Ellen Bernstein to the show.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity. We're hoping maybe Reverend Walker can still join in later on. He's just in a bad reception area coming back across from Mexico.
Sure. So as I understand, you know, Pastor Shapiro just returned from Cuba, which is a project of the Interreligious Foundation for Community Organizing, where this is the 17th annual Friendship Caravan. And as we were talking, it just crossed right now to the Texas border, and it was an 8-day trip to Cuba, and in many ways it's a defiance both to the U.S. 45-year blockade and the travel bans that they have to go into Cuba. And as I understand, also the delegation delivered about 100 tons of humanitarian aid. One of the things I wanted to have a discussion with, obviously, one is the escalating role of the U.S. and their new program with the Commission for Assistance to a Free Cuba. But let's get to the first business at hand. Was there any problems crossing the border today?
For the most part, we didn't have major problems crossing the border today. We were greeted once again, as we were last year, by, I guess there were a total of about 75 agents from Homeland Security, from Customs and Border Protection, from the Treasury Department, from the Office of Foreign Assets Control, from a number of other different agencies. That's about as many people as we had with us crossing in the caravan. So they kind of matched us one for one. Mm-hmm. Some of them involved in attempting to interrogate us, and some of them involved in searching every bit of personal luggage of every member of the caravan. There was also one woman who was working with the man from OFAC, the Office of Foreign Assets mm-hmm. Control, who we can only say was an unidentified secret agent because she refused to tell us who she was or who she worked with. She was Cuban-American. She was very hostile and aggressive and very insulting and took photos of us and got more and more frustrated until she finally spent a bunch of time sorting through the papers in Reverend Walker's briefcase. Came up with nothing that was of interest and just got more frustrated as the thing went on. But it was kind of interesting that they sent someone so aggressive who wouldn't even give us her name or who she worked with.
Ellen, I mean, a couple of years ago there was, you know, the U.S. government decided to restrict travel even more. In other words, at one moment, at least there was a little bit of a liberalization to go out there, especially for humanitarian groups and educational centers and things like that. And obviously, there was going at one moment they were threatening to get people on back pay for traveling to Cuba. How has that moved? Have you guys been impacted at all by that type of legislation?
Well, over the last few years, the restrictions on travel to Cuba have tightened more and more and more and more and more. We used to say that all of this didn't affect us too much because it's been our position since the founding of our Pastors for Peace caravans to Cuba that we weren't going to ask permission from the U.S. government in order to travel. We weren't going to ask for a license. We didn't want to be complicit with their whole idea of putting sanctions on Cuba because we could see then, and we see it even more clearly now, with this new report coming out, which is just so full of lies. What we see is that the reason that the U.S. government maintains restrictions on travel to Cuba is because they don't want the U.S. people to know that the U.S. government is lying about Cuba. And as soon as we go to Cuba and see it for ourselves, and we see Cuba's accomplishments, and we see the realities of how Cuba is affected by U.S. policy, and we see just all those things in person, we want to travel and visit even more.
Mm-hmm.
Than we've been able to do, you know, in the past. So everybody who travels with us on the caravan becomes like an ambassador of this new message mm-hmm. and an advocate for a more humane U.S. policy. So we, because we've always been in that gray area, we've kind of been outlaws traveling to Cuba. We didn't want to be complicit with the licensing. Some of that did get liberalized, and a lot of groups did go to Cuba with permission of the U.S. government, and then they lost their licenses when Bush decided to crack down even more and to tighten restrictions. Cuban Americans are restricted now from visiting their families more than once every 3 years. More and more people are in the category of not being allowed to go, and we're saying, listen, this is emergency time because this new report that came out from the Presidential Commission for Assistance to a so-called Free Cuba, is practically a declaration of war against Cuba. It really, it talks about putting, it's like the whole methodology of the confessions of the economic hitman.
Mm-hmm.
That say, talks about putting a puppet government in place in Cuba that would respond to U.S. interests so that then the U.S. could come in with big companies like Halliburton and write itself contracts to, you know, replace the water and sanitation systems, which have been destroyed by the U.S. blockade.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, not destroyed, but weakened significantly. And all of these years of really attempting very consciously in its blockade policy to try to cause suffering for the people of Cuba, all of a sudden the U.S. government is popping up and saying that it wants to help those same people when it's not helping its own people at home.
Right. Ellen, I think we have Reverend Lucius Walker on the phone. Welcome to the show, Reverend Walker.
Thank you. It's good to be with you and along with Ellen.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, I think we have a couple more minutes, and I wanted to mainly talk about, obviously, you know, Ellen already touched the subject about the commission for the so-called Free Cuba. And, you know, one of the things that I guess, you know, thinking about, you know, coming to the show today, in many ways, you know, Cuba is in a different place than, I went to Cuba about 98, and things seemed very hard. There was very few allies, you know, the sort of the ramifications of the fall of the Soviet Union were still pretty present. But now, you know, with the rise of Chavez and the growing allies that it has worldwide and growing trade and commerce with a lot of people in the world, in many ways the conditions for the ability to push back on both to break the shackles of any form of, you know, of isolation from the world has been broken. But yet, I mean, and I think obviously the work of Pastors for Peace and the Venceremos Brigade is very important. How do you think our role here in the U.S., because given those conditions, in other words, the objective conditions in many ways are very positive right now, and yet in many ways, can we here in the United States, especially the progressive and sort of left movement, have any ability to really shift any real, the politics that the Bush administration and the policies of this government for the last 40 years? Ellen or Reverend Walker would be great.
Ellen, go ahead.
Oh, you want me to take the question?
Yes.
I think that the...
I'm going to an x-ray machine with the...
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Walker, for being on. This is live radio, folks.
You're getting a live action shot.
Yes, that's right. Action by action.
Yeah, but let me come back to your question. I think that one of the things that has helped the Pastors for Peace program to grow so much is that it shows clearly the power of, as Margaret Mead said, the power of a small group of people to accomplish great things. This is a very grassroots movement. It works with local committees all around the country, and we've seen since 1992 when we started doing these caravans mm-hmm. that we have been able to push against the U.S. government. We've been talking recently about locking horns with the empire. They try to stop us from taking the caravans. We just dig in and we fight them and we struggle and we resist and we learn from our brothers and sisters in Cuba how mm-hmm. to do that. We learn how to push back. We learn how to say, no, you're not going to take the aid away from us, and no, you're not going to tell these lies. And yes, we are going to keep making these visits, and yes, we are going to tell these stories. And they have to back down. I mean, they questioned us and searched us for 5 hours today, but they didn't take anything from us, mm-hmm. and they had to let us go. They were frustrated at the end, the high-level officials, because mm-hmm. they couldn't really touch us. So that, you know, that's a people's victory, and we've been contending the whole time we've been building this caravan movement that if more folk would join on and take that principled position that says we're not going to be complicit
mm-hmm.
with the lies that they're telling, we're not going to be complicit with the restrictions. We have the right to go to Cuba, and they have the right to receive our attention and aid in a spirit of mutual respect for what they've accomplished and for what their society represents for the world.
Thank you so much, Ellen Bernstein. With Pastors for Peace, you can get more information at www.ifconews.org. Just a reminder, the PyeongTaek International Solidarity Night is the first of the four-leg city tour with PyeongTaek farmer struggle and their attempt to stop the U.S. militarization, the military base in PyeongTaek. It's tonight at the Korean Educational Foundation Auditorium, 680 Wilshire Place. I'm your co-host, Tammy Bang Lu, with Manuel Criollo. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd like to thank our guests, Rayan Alameed, Mario Cuella, and Reverend Lucius Walker and Ellen Bernstein from Pastors for Peace. We heard music from Otis Redding, U2, Silvio Rodriguez, and we're closing with Cafe Tacuba. You can listen to previous voices at www.thestrategycenter.org, and we'd like to hear your comments at voices@thestrategycenter.org. I'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistant, Lisa Adler, and our engineer, Jose Benavides. We'll see you next week on Voices from the Frontlines. Don't miss this evening at 8 p.m., the strategy session with Antonio Gonzalez. And up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Whiteman.